This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wrestling Omakase, episode number 46. This week on Omakase, I'm very happy to welcome a returning guest. This is your first episode of 2018, actually. You were last on for the All Japan 2017 Year in Review episode, which ended up being a very popular episode. So we're, of course, very happy to welcome you back to the show. How's it going, buddy?
It's going great. I'm really excited to be here and talk about one of my favorite shows in the past couple of months. I really like this show a lot, and just excited to talk about All Japan. It's always fun to talk about them.
I mean, you know, pretty much anytime I want to talk about All Japan, you're one of the first names I think of, because very passionate cheerleader for the promotion, which is good because, you know, God knows wrestling Twitter needs people tweeting about what they love to counteract all the tweets about people from people what they hate. Myself.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. But that's what we're talking about today, though. The All Japan Cork and Hall show from yesterday, which I should have looked up the date before. May 24th. So it's May 24th at Cork and Hall. The 2018 Superpower Series show, headlined by Naomichi Marufuji and Kento Miyahara for the Triple Crown title, the big rematch from the Champion Carnival final. We can talk about the Champion Carnival final for two match also. Maybe we should even do that beforehand.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Overall, like, what were your thoughts on All Japan going into this show? It seems like they've, you know, people from my, you know, watching wrestling Twitter, it seemed like it kind of had calmed down a little bit after the Champion Carnival. Like, people, you know, after a long league like that, you know, from a promotion, they sometimes like give it a break. And I know I did that myself probably, but it was an awesome Champion Carnival though. So I feel like, you know, All Japan does have quite a bit of momentum still.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I love the Champion Carnival like a lot this year. They had a lot of really good people in it. Hino just killed it, which was surprising to me. I didn't think he'd be booked as strongly as he was.
He won his first three matches or something, right? I think.
He took out a lot of people. He took out Shuji. He hit Joe with the fucking bomb. He was just like tearing through everybody. So it was surprised to see him getting so much traction. But I really enjoyed it. The first half of the Champion Carnival was kind of I feel like it wasn't as good as the second half, but it was still, you know, still interesting enough. And I had a lot of fun watching Yutaka Yoshi destroy motherfuckers and be one of the MVPs of the tournament.
The first half of the tournament to me, it was, you know, I don't know, like when people were complaining, you know, there were complaints on Twitter about it.
And I just
was watching it like, this isn't bad. Like, I don't know why everybody's like, you know, saying, oh, it's so hard to get through. I'm like, it's four matches a night. And like, even on like the worst of the worst shows, people be like, oh, this show is such a drag. I'm like, it's usually like one match was good. Two matches were fine. Like, I don't know. People act like watching wrestling matches that were fine is like having acid poured in their eyes or something. It's not. You're not watching Raw or anything. Like, calm down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're not watching something incredibly mediocre. You know, even like I bring up Yoshi. Like, even Yoshi, when he's trying, he's at least good. he's at least very good. I thought the first half was good. I liked it a lot more than other people did.
Yeah, same here. I thought it was quite good, and like it had a lot of Kai stuff too, which I know a lot of people
don't
really care for, but I love Kai, so I thought all the Kai stuff in the first half was awesome.
He was in a lot.
Yeah. First half, and then the second half obviously was where like the big matches were, and you know that's probably what it should be, how it should be, honestly. So,
exactly. Yeah.
They really kicked it into overdrive during the second half of the carnival, but yeah, the second half to me is what took it into being like a really great tournament. So, you know, and it finished up strong with, you know, my current match of the year, honestly, the champion carnival final. So,
oh yeah. Wow. That took my breath away when I first watched it. Very, very surprised. Like, because I knew it was going to be amazing, and I had like the idea in my head that I'm like, oh, what if they go with Miyahara versus Mara Fuji? I didn't think that they were actually going to do it.
but they took
that opportunity.
I thought they were going to do it. I kind of thought like maybe that was possible, but I wasn't. I don't want to say I was like 100% sure or anything. And
yeah,
you know, when we got it ended up being like, because Mara Fuji, you know, Mara Fuji's a veteran. He understands that he's not going to be able to go, you know, he doesn't go 100 miles an hour in every match. And he had some matches earlier in the carnival that really just like, you know, he was okay. He was doing fine. Yeah. But like when it came time to turn it on, boy, did he turn it on.
Oh.
He still has that extra gear when he really wants to. And his selling in that final against Miyahara, I think is like probably the best individual performance of any wrestler I've seen this year. I think.
Oh my God! Yeah, like the one cell that sticks out to me is the blackout knee strike cell where he just I think Kento hits him with the knee and he just buckles.
Yeah.
He just folds, and I'm like, oh, it's like fuck!
It's a good version of that Kenny, that hokey ass Kenny thing from the Dominion Okada Kenny match last year, which I didn't like that one at all. And this was a lot. This spot was a lot better.
Again. Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. it was so good. And even the match, I think it was either the night before or a couple nights before, Hino versus Kento, which is a dream match. That was a dream match of mine for the longest time. I've always wanted to see like those two wrestle, you know, in a singles match. And it lived up to my expectations. It was great. It made a lot of sense. You had Hino just dominating the whole thing, Kento getting a little bit in here and there, trying to be precise about things and just waiting until Hino slipped up so he can take the opportunity. And yeah. it was very clever. It was very clever.
But yeah, so I went to the Mara Fuji Kento match. I went 4 3/4. That's my current match of the year. And the other match I went 4 3/4 on in the Champion Carnival, that's currently my number 3 match of the year, was the Shuji Ishikawa versus Shingo Takagi match from the day before, on April 29th. Like that I thought was just a fucking awesome performance from both guys.
Oh God, yeah, wow.
Shingo, you know, for anyone who's followed Shingo's career, like he is not the smaller guy in a lot of matches in Dragon Gate. I mean, he is the bully in Dragon Gate. That's his whole shtick. So for him to have to play the small guy that like is getting bullied and has to fire up and make these comebacks, and like he really showed off his range, I thought here. And like Shuji Ishikawa is Shuji Ishikawa. I mean, I think the best wrestler on the planet right now.
Absolutely.
And they put on like just a hell of a show in this match. And just I did see a few people on Twitter saying it was too much, like, quote unquote, like pyro, like fighting spirit stuff. But if you like that stuff, like this, which I do, I totally admit I'm.
Yeah.
Unless it gets like super silly, which I don't think that it ever did in this match. I don't think they ever reached quite that level. But like,
yeah, I don't remember anything ridiculous.
Yeah, and like, but I love all that stuff. So I'm, of course, like, this is a match that is, you know, to me, going to be right there in my match of the year ranking.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I've seen some of Shingo, you know, like here and there, you know, I've seen a few matches. Not like the hugest fan, partially just because I don't follow Dragon Gate as much as other folks. But yeah, no, like if anything, that was a great fucking showing from Shingo. And he really took the opportunity here in the Champion Carnival to kind of just like, you know, get, hey, Dragon Gate's on the map too, you guys.
Yeah. And I thought he had a great tournament, even going back to his opening match with Kento, which I thought was
holy
awesome.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That match got me. That match, like, I remember it was like really, really early in the morning, and I'm watching that match and I'm really tired. And I remember just like, I think the finish waking me up. Cause I'm just like, oh, like I'm invested, and then he hits like, what was the move he hit? I don't know Shingo's moveset.
I probably you're talking about the at the finish.
Yeah, the finish. Like, so
it had to be the main Japan, I would think.
It was something like that. Yeah, like he hit that move, and I'm like, oh my god, and it just woke me up, and he beat him.
Yeah.
So if he's probably going to get a title shot, you're going to see him again in Japan very soon.
I hope so. I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to the show here, but it seems like we know the next challenger, which is another guy. The next challenger actually is a guy that, like, you know, going into this, I wasn't that high on, like, you know, it's Dylan James / James Wright Dean from 0-1.
Yeah,
like, I never liked him much in 0-1, but to be fair, I never, you know, I'd see him maybe, like, twice a year, so it's not really fair to say I had a very nuanced and, you know, great opinion of like on James Wright. I was not a James Wright Deed expert by any stretch.
Yeah.
But like from what little I saw of him, I didn't really care for him. But in the Champion Carnival, I thought he was pretty good.
They hit
him a little bit early on in the, you know, with like a lot of 5-minute matches and stuff. But as the tournament went on, it felt like he got more and more comfortable, and you know, he's kind of slid in as like a second like big hoss Gaijin to go with Joe Doering. That would be an interesting team.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'd like to try that at some point. But yeah, so he's
the
founder, and he, you know, he's. I feel a lot better about that than I would have like 2 months ago when I was not at all happy about him and Sai winning the tag titles.
But, yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, it's James Wrighting.
Yeah,
so but that's why he left 0-1.
Yeah, but he's been doing pretty well for himself.
Oh,
though,
yeah.
So I'm not the type of person that, like, you know, once I hate a wrestler, I'm never willing to reevaluate my opinion. Maybe with Flip Gordon, but that's but no, like Rydeen / Dylan James, I think he's been good. So I'm more than willing to say, hey, let's give him a triple crown title shot, whatever.
Absolutely.
See how it goes.
Yeah, but like, I always liked him in 0-1, kind of, sort of. He was always fine and stuff. He had his very big moments with, like, you know, Sekimoto and stuff like that, and he had a lot of fun there. But then all of a sudden, he said he had family reasons. He had to leave for family reasons, and he found out what those family reasons were.
Like everyone in Japan, it's like they can never just say I'm jumping. It's like family reasons, or I'm going to go to America and try to be a star. Or
it's school.
I have to go to school. And then, yeah. So I'm going to go, it's fucking Kenshin Chikano. It's like, I'm going to go pursue an MMA career, but actually I'm just mad that you fired Yohei.
Oh my God. Wow. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah. That was, because he and Yohei broke into Dragon Gate at like almost the exact same time.
Wow.
They were like really good friends, and Yohei kind of got like stuck holding the bag for that whole core of the monkey scandal. And, you know, so they fired Yohei. First they suspended him indefinitely, and then they said Yohei quit, but pretty clearly fired him. And, you know, Kenshin Chikano was like nowhere to be found. Then like 6 months later, it's just like, oh yeah, he's retiring to pursue a career in MMA. And I think he might have had like a fight or something, but you know, next thing you know, he's starting Dev Pro and, you know, wrestling alongside his buddy Yohei that he,
wow,
he really didn't want to see fired, clearly.
Holy so, shit, that's amazing.
Yeah. But why Yohei couldn't get him into Noah, I have no, I still have no idea this day. But,
right.
Yeah, like he's, Shikano has been in Wrestle 1 a little bit this year, but that's really about it, other than Dev Pro. But we're pretty off topic, so, which is totally my fault. Let's get back to All Japan here. The Champion Carnival thoughts, were there any other matches that were huge standouts for you?
Let's see. I have my list here of stuff. Marufuji versus Suwama was amazing.
Yeah, I remember that being really good.
That was so, so good. I mentioned Miyahara versus Hino.
Yeah.
God, what else? Oh, Shuji versus Naoya was a lot of fun. I love that match a lot.
That match is really good. And Nomura had like another one. What was like his, I can't even think of it. There was like another one he had towards the end that I thought was really, really good.
I don't know. I liked his match with Doring.
I don't think that was one I was thinking of. I should bring the list up or something. But yeah, keep going. What's some of the ones you liked?
Let's see. I really liked Yoshitatsu versus Kai. I know some people weren't
too big a fan of it. I liked that match a lot too, actually. I thought that Yoshitatsu had a couple of matches that were like shockingly good. He had the Yoshitatsu one, you know, the one with Kai, and I also liked the one with Marufuji a lot.
That one too. It was so good. You know, so good.
No one's mentioned Akiyama Marufuji. That was fantastic.
I was about to say wow.
Yeah, that's probably my third favorite match of the tournament. Like, I'd probably go, like, 4.5 level. That was really, really good. Like,
so damn good. Naoya versus Kenta. I'm sorry, Naoya, not...
Versus Miyahara?
Yep.
Yeah, that was really good, too. I think the one I was thinking, by the way, was the Shingo Takagi match. It was only, like, 10 minutes, but it was really... Nomura versus Shingo. Remember liking that a lot. Yeah.
I think I missed a couple of shows like in between, so
yeah.
I might have not seen that one.
But yeah, overall, I'd say it was a very good Champion Carnival.
Yeah,
I think overall I liked it better than last year. It's close because last year was also very good, but last year had like the opening night. It was probably one of my favorite wrestling shows the entire year.
So for one show.
Like the 2017 opener was better than anything on the 2018 one, but like as far as an entire tournament, I think the 2018 one was better.
Mm-hmm, definitely, I really like this tournament a lot more than I did the last one.
But that's the Champion Carnival. Mm-hmm. So let's get into. Did you see anything else from All Japan like this month?
No. I think I kind of fell out of it with the rest of the folks when it ended.
Didn't really watch anything between the Champion Carnival and the Korakuen, and so let's talk about the 2018 Super Power Series. So it opened up with Yohei Nakajima taking on Ishikiri from Land's End. Yohei won in 6:08 with the Tobi Ushiro Mawashigiri. Everybody loves my terrible Japanese pronunciation, but there you go. Nakajima got the win here against Ishikiri, a guy that you can't even find anything about him, like, on Cage Match. He's so obscure, but he's a Land's End guy. I've seen him a few times, and I know he's got, like, a weird cult following on Twitter, and I get it, because he's, like, he's very mysterious. Like, you only get to see him a few times a year, and when he does show up, he's pretty good. So yeah. I totally get why people be into him. But, yeah, this was a good match. For a six-minute opener, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. I want to see more of Ishikiri. I want to see a lot more of him.
He's, I think he's everybody does. Honestly, like, why is combat logo on his tights?
Yeah, that's like, what I was wondering. Where like, did it come from?
I don't. Maybe he's always had that. I just missed it last time. But like, yeah, that was like, what the fuck is he? Is this what he does? Like during his is he like a professional Mortal Kombat player? Does that exist?
Yeah, is his gimmick is being like a Mortal Kombat character, or is it like a Mortal Kombat OC?
Yeah, I
don't know. Very, maybe.
Very interesting. But yeah, this is about as fun as a 6-minute match can be, I think. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm, same.
Do you have any other thoughts on the match?
I love Yohei Nakajima. I want him to like, I don't know. I really like to see him like push it a little bit more. Because like, I don't know. I want to see him as aggressive as he is whenever Ikemen shows up in All Japan, where he just wants to tear his head off, but do that with every
person. Really does not like poor Jiro. It's true.
Oh, no. He's
not a fan of the EK men. So.
No, he's... I remember, like, they had that match back in 2016. He tried to rip his jacket off, and the whole crowd fucking booed him.
Yeah, the crowd... if you want to, like, get heat, just go after Jiro's jacket.
Always.
Although there's a pretty easy way to get heat in the next match too, as we'll talk about. So,
oh yeah.
Transition. Match two was the Jumbo Tsurata Memorial match with Jun Akiyama and Osamu Nishimura defeating Takao Omori and Masanobu Fuchi. Akiyama got the pin on Fuchi in 10:38 with a wrist clutch small package hold. Basically goes for a wrist clutch suplex or exploder and then turns into a small package.
Yeah, he just rolls into it.
Yeah. So the best way to get heat on the show is to do anything to Masa Fuchi, because the crowd was not happy whenever Jun Akiyama like did a move to him. Like, they just loud booing every time.
Like just a stomp or something, and they would just start like booing him.
Those
like,
headlocks too. They were really upset at those headlocks.
Yes.
And then so he had him in, he put Fuchi in these headlocks, and then, you know, the ref would like kind of look away for a second, and he'd do like a close fist punch, and the ref would turn around and he'd be like, "Look, open."
Yeah, it was open.
It's like a total old school bullshit, but it's awesome. So
I know, I love that. I'm glad I'm not the only person who loves that old school silliness.
Like, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's like she was just like out there, you go, give me like, no, open.
And he's like, I didn't do anything.
Right? meanwhile, the crowd is like vociferously booing him. But yeah, it was an awesome, you know, awesome little 10-man old man tag. I don't know if like the only person that could hate this is like people who hate fun.
Yeah, best way to say it, in my opinion. I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And the ending was nice. You know, you had Fuichi celebrating in the ring and the whole fucking crowd was excited. Like, it was fun. It was just a lot of fun.
I jumped both same. So
mm-hmm.
I did enjoy June giving him like the single lightest like sliding knee attack of all time. The knee must have stopped like, I don't know, like a fucking foot in front of his face. It was great.
He's like, and then it just went into slow motion. He just kind of like nudged him with it.
Yeah, like I actually don't think it made contact. I think he just stopped. I think he just tapped his body completely. But I could be wrong. But
incredible.
Yeah, it was great. All right, so match three was a 8-man tag. Suwama, Shuji Ishikawa, Aoki, and Sato, basically Evolution. Have they ever said that Shuji's actually in Evolution? I don't think they have.
I don't think they have, but he might as well be. It's kind of like with Yoshikatsu, you know? Like, he's not officially a part of Next Dream, but he teams with Kento enough to where he kind of is.
Yeah, but they took on the team of Zeus, Joe Doring, Atsushi Maruyama, and Black Tiger 7, aka Nosawa, of course. I just noted that, like, the comedy before this match started, like, we have two masked men in this match who, like, everyone knows who they are. And, I mean, one of them wrestles under his name anyway.
But, yeah.
Like, yeah, like two masked men that, like, are not a mystery at all, which is kind of funny. But why don't you go first in this match? What did you think of it?
I thought it was a lot of fun. Like that's a lot of this undercard, this show. It's just, you know, a lot of fun stuff, you know, to get the crowd, you know, happy and stuff for the stuff they're going to be like, or, well, you know, the main event, which is just going to be ridiculous. Which we'll get into a little bit later. But I really like this one. I loved before the match, there were a bunch of Shuji chants.
And like you had Hikaru and Aoki on the crowd, on the ground, like leading them on. It was like little cheerleaders. It was like adorable.
It was so funny. And I really liked just a lot of the interactions here. Like Joe was killing it. He was a lot of fun. So many people were over in this match. It could be just because, you know, Cork and Hall was completely fucking sold out for this.
Yeah.
But everyone was just being cheered. It was amazing. I love how hyped this crowd was for this match and just the show in general. But it was just a lot of fun. Yeah. I don't really know what else to say besides that, honestly. Yeah,
it was a good show. I enjoyed it. But, you know, I think in this match, you know, again, another little 8-man tag to, I guess, continue the feuds that were going on here. I don't know. like the Suwama versus IGF Hagari thing, that seems like it's kind of been dropped, but you know, you still have the Doring Suwama thing, kind of, although that's kind of been dropped too.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. I guess there really wasn't much of a point in this match, but I still had fun with it. So
yeah,
Suwama pinned Maruyama after the Last Mountain, which is that double power.
Oh my god, it looked so scary.
And that did you see the ref like freaking out?
Yeah,
the lady ref, like, she's like, no, Maruyama.
Yeah,
she like reacted like they were about to fucking murder this kid, and I can't marry him for like 40 years old, but yeah, they're about to murder Maruyama, and like, I want to tell her it's gonna be okay. I don't think they're gonna kill him. They might, but
they might.
They're not trying to.
And then that power bomb, and it was just the impact. He like bounced a little bit when he fell. I was like, oh, that's not fun.
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, what else is there to say? But yeah, it was a fun little 8-man. There was like one other thing I noticed in this match that was kind of funny was there was like a Hikaru Sato was going up against Joe Doring like towards the start, and Sato like kept trying to kick Joe Doring, and Joe Doring just like, you know, obviously is not selling for this at all, and then like Doring doesn't really do anything that you could call a kick. He just kind of like gently nudges him with his foot, and Sato like just goes flying. And I was like,
oh my god, yeah.
He was like,
I should have gifted that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, Zushin Tsuji had a pretty awesome lariat battle towards the end, too. That was my other big take.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They were like charging and just larrying each other. And when Zeus finally won it, the crowd went pretty wild. So,
yeah, he rolled after that lariat. He was gaining so much speed. I love that.
Yeah, so this is pretty funny, man. Nothing to complain about here. After this match, I believe, is where we got the announcement about the All Asia Tag Title match, which is Nomura and the returning Yuma Aoki will challenge Jun Akiyama and Yuji Nagata for the All Asia Tag Belts on June 12th at Korakuen Hall. Aoki returns to the ring on June 5th, so about a week before.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah. So he gets a week under his belt before they go back to those All-Asia tag belts again, which is cool because they're a great team. So I have no problem with them winning the belts back.
They're an awesome team. I love them so much, honestly. You know, I always liked Naoya and Jake, but I love Yuma and Naoya like a lot more. It seems like they have just a lot more chemistry.
Yeah, they click even better than Jake and Naoya did. So. All right, so that match, that was like the first half of the card, and we had an intermission, and then we came back with a 6-man tag team match, which is hyping up a world tag title match. On June 3rd in Kobe, it's going to be Ryoji Sai and Dylan James defending against Tajiri and Kai, an awesome team, I have to say.
They're like, so good.
Tajiri like and Kai are just like, they're such a cool team together. Like, Kai's basically like, I am not really a heel, but I will let my wacky friend miss you. I don't give a shit. Like, that's basically Kai Hall's character. And like, you know, towards the start of the match too, like they had like this segment where like Kai like or Kai's like standing there, and Tajiri immediately jumps the guy from behind, and Kai's just like, "Oh, okay then," and joins in. And it's like, they should call this team like, there has been a team called Bad Influence actually, but
yeah,
Tajiri is a bad influence on Kai. He's like, bring him to the heel side.
Literally, yeah. He's just like, all right, I'll just kind of go with the flow. he's gonna get him in a lot of trouble.
But yeah, so the hype match here was Tajiri and Kai teaming with Kotaro Suzuki to take on Ryuji Sai, Dylan James, and Keiichi Sato. Kotaro, the like really angry anti-Kotaro guy, I guess, didn't come to the show.
I didn't hear him.
Yeah, I didn't hear one guy go out like screaming his head off about how much he just booing like nonstop during the entrance of the match, any type of anything, like in previous months. That did not happen this time. So I guess that guy has to miss this show. But
thank God.
he's never gonna forgive Kotaro for leaving.
He's never gonna let it go.
But yeah, so this was a really cool like crowd brawling match. Like if you're into crowd brawling, you'll like this match a lot because they just like brought all over the place.
It was chaos.
Yeah, it really was utter chaos. And then, you know, by the time you get at one point, like the cameras had trouble keeping up with it because, like, there was a cut at one point to Tajiri, and his head is like sliding down that like west side, that west sign that like a lot of wrestlers will slam each other's heads into. So yeah. Apparently Dillon James had just slammed his head into the west sign right before the camera cut to there. And we just saw the aftermath of Tajiri like slowly sliding down. Like after, it was like, it must've cut to it like seriously milliseconds after he went head first into the sign. So
I just
thought that was pretty funny.
Another thing that I found really funny was Sai and Kai fighting. They were fighting like, I don't know, like up in the audience, and I guess like Kai goes to Irish whip Sai. Sai reverses it, and Kai goes flying out one of the fucking exit doors.
Yes, that was awesome. I can't remember the last time I ever saw that happening. It must have happened before, but I really can't remember.
Yeah, me neither, honestly.
Yeah. And but yeah, then he came like right back in. I remember thinking like, I hope that's not a door that only opens from the inside.
Yeah,
because otherwise he's gonna have to like go find another entrance. But now
yes, so I went right after him too. So hopefully he just got that was the thing. But it was a lot of fun. I love the whole crowd brawling thing. I love how Sato and Suzuki were just not involved in the crowd brawling thing. They wanted to wrestle and shit.
They were like, we're here to have a wrestling match. I don't know what the hell is our partner's problems, but we're going to like wait here and wrestle each other until I get back. And
they just totally staying in their own lane.
They end up being the finish anyway. Like Kotaro just beat him with the Blue Destiny. So
yeah, that's right.
Which I did not realize that Kotaro has a fucking Gundam Seed theme song is his theme song. I know he's a Gundam fan because he always I'm pretty sure it's Seed. I think it's Seed. I haven't seen Seed in so long, so I don't know.
I haven't seen Seed either.
Yeah. I've seen it, but not in a long, long time. It's not one of my favorites, so
mm-hmm.
but just like the moment that song came on, I was like, I know it's Gundam. I think this is Gundam Seed. So
I never knew that. I never knew he was a huge Gundam fan.
Yeah, his whole outfit has like...
Oh yeah, his whole outfit, that explains everything.
Yeah, it's like a Zeon thing. So.
Oh my god.
But yeah, Kotaro loves him some Gundam, apparently. Which reminds me too, a little bit off topic, but did you hear the story? They had Harai Kawato on Tanahashi's radio show, and he was talking about the other young lions, and the Oka is an otaku thing, is not a gimmick. If it's a gimmick, he lives it. Because they were talking about how like Oga has like a double room to himself because he watches so much fucking anime.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The other trainees just can't fucking take it. And I'm just like, just stay in there with your anime, Oka. We don't want to hear about it.
Oh my god.
But that's why he's not developing too much anime watching though.
God damn it.
God damn it. It's all Milky Blood's fault. Whatever the fuck that show is called.
Milky Blood. No, I think that's the name of it. I don't remember. I don't know these shows.
Might be a video game. I don't know. But either way, back to the match. So this is a really cool match, and Kotaro got the pin, and now we have a big tag title match to look forward to in Kobe.
I hope they fucking win them.
I really do too. I don't think they will, but I would love it if they did because I love both. Well, I love Kai and I love this team. So,
just lovely.
Yeah. But then we get to the semi-main event, which was Jake Lee's return match. Fucking finally. Jake Lee and Koji Iwamoto against Jake's former partner, Naoya Nomura, and Yoshitatsu. Jake Lee won in 12:24 with a high angle backdrop on Nomura. Boy, was it a high angle!
Oh my like, god!
I was like, it looks like Nomura just like fell off like a building or something. Like he just came straight down.
This is scary as hell.
It really was. I was like a high angle. It should be like should have another name like extremely high angle or something.
Yeah, right. Like because Jake Lee's tall. Like
yeah.
him lifting him like that was just crazy, in my opinion. But
this match was awesome. I guess.
I love this whole match. Yeah. Yeah, it was just great. I loved everything.
It was a little bit slow, but like by the time it got like a few minutes in, it started like they really started going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I love Jake's new green and silver attire. I think that's really cool looking.
Oh yeah, it's really good. I can't wait for his matching jacket too. Yeah.
So he's gonna. Are you trying to say he might be the new Misawa?
Oh. Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I thought he was awesome here, and. you know, it's good that he had a nice new outfit and stuff since he's breaking off from Next Dream, and now he's probably we're building, I guess, to Kento versus Jake Lee. I thought maybe they'd go with it really quickly, but it looks like they're gonna try to save it maybe all the way till, when is Ryogoku? Is it, are they doing a Ryogoku show?
I'm not sure.
Actually, I can't remember. They're one of these companies that announced one for, I don't think they have actually. I don't think, because I think it's Big Japan and DDT that announced their Ryogoku dates for the fall.
Since the summer.
I don't think All Japan's announced anything. But either way, maybe it'll be the main event for that Osaka number one building. You know?
Maybe, yeah. That'd be really nice.
But either way, we're going to have that probably is what they're going to build to. And this was a cool little start here with Jake taking out, whatever feelings he has on poor Naoa, or poor Nomura.
That's literally what I read from it. Like him just brutalizing Nomura at the end of this was just him, showing, hey,
fucking Kento.
Yeah, I mean business. Fuck all of you guys.
I'm not here to be your bag boy no more.
Literally, that's all I read from it. You know, and he means business. He's gonna make his presence felt, and he's probably gonna win the belt. And I can't wait for him to.
I know, I can't wait for it either. I've always loved Jake Lee, and I thought he was, I loved Jake Lee when he wasn't even any good. So yeah. It's like
I found him charming.
Once he the same basically, and like once he started getting really good before, you know, that terrible injury last year, I was like, okay, here we go, Jake Lee, baby. And then he got hurt. So
yeah,
hopefully he can pick right up where he left off. This is a good start.
Oh yeah.
At one point, like pretty early on, like I just remember Yoshi Tatsu going for like an STO or something, and Jake just like shoving him off,
throwing him off,
like he's a bag of crap, basically, like get the fuck off me, you idiot.
They were kind of beefing here and there throughout the match. Like, yeah. You had Jake in the first thing. You had Naoya and Jake, messing with each other, and then he told him, he's like, tag Yoshi Tatsu in, tag him in, bring him in. Bring him to me.
I want to fight the world famous guy, whatever the fuck his nickname is. But yeah. And then, once you get later in the match, like I just remember Jake and Nomura like tagging in and Jake like almost breaking a skull on Big Boot. Like,
he just, oh my God.
Crazy Big Boot, right? Like almost, it cracked him. It was pretty,
destroyed him.
And then, then we got to the end of the match and, you know, that crazy, crazy exchange at the end where, basically, he did like a Superman forearm almost.
Nomura. Wow.
Nomura did like a jump and like, just cracked him with his forearm. Now, I was seeing that my girlfriend was kind of watching this with me. She's not big on wrestling. And she remarked like, if Roman Superman punch looked like that, you'd probably actually be over. Or you'd probably actually be popular. She doesn't use speak. But yeah, I mean, it looked like a way more impressive version of the Superman punch because
first of all,
it actually made contact, which is probably a big part of it. And then after that, it went right into like Iwasaki like running it out of nowhere and doing this crazy judo throw.
Yeah, Koji just showing up. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that. It's just
like the fucking elevator into the ring or something, like the teleportation device just appeared. And like did that judo throw, and like I almost like jumped.
Yeah, I was like, "What the fuck?" And then he just get him.
And then he just dashes right back out of the ring again.
I love it. He just ran and he's like, "Take care of it, bye." That's
and then
it.
Jake like does like this sick kick, and then right into the backdrop. So yeah, finishing sequence like probably one of my favorite finishing sequences of the year.
So good.
Yeah, it was really only 12 and a half minute match, but really really fun where it lasted in a really awesome finishing sequence, I thought. All right, so that brings us in. What, do you have any other thoughts on the match or Jake Lee's return or anything?
Just that he looked really, really good in this. You know, he wasn't awkward. He wasn't like, all of that's kind of gone now, it seems like. It seems like he's just very, at home in the ring. He doesn't feel awkward. He doesn't feel out of place,
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, it's all right. I was just gonna say there's less wasted motion with him.
He always looked like he didn't know how to use his size, probably, and like he wasn't good at like, I don't know. He just felt like he he grew six. He always looked like someone who grew 6 inches overnight and had no idea what to do with himself. But
yeah,
that was before. Like, but by the time he got like to right before his injury last year, he really started to come into his own. And you know, like you're saying, in any fears that he would regress back to like weird, awkward Jake Lee was, I think, pretty well put away here.
Yep.
So awesome little match. Then we get to the main event, which was the Triple Crown heavyweight title match. Kento Miyahara, the 6-year champion, defending against Aomichi Marufuji. Miyahara won in 25-52 with the shutdown German suplex hold. Did you think Marufuji had any chance going in?
Not really. I figured it was gonna end with like a them going Broadway or something ridiculous, or Kento was gonna win. I never really thought that Marufuji was gonna take the belt.
So can I say, like, maybe you agree with me on this? Noah kind of fucked them here, I think, because booking Sugera and Marufuji like for 4 days later, I think made it for the GHC heavyweight title. While that makes sense in character, it's like, okay, you went and won the Champion Carnival, so you should get a title shot at our belt too. It's like, you should have waited a little bit, because it makes it really obvious to me that Kento was probably not going to, you know, win this match. Because like, if he did, he would, I mean, that Marufuji's not going to win this match, because if he did, he would be going into a champion versus champion match, which on 4 days build, which doesn't seem like a thing that would ever happen. So.
Yeah, a whole lot of bad timing on their part when it came to that.
Yeah, so that'd be my big complaint, is basically I would say would have held off on that for like a month.
Definitely.
Or so.
That's what I thought they were going to do, and then I remember, it's announced. They did the press conference, and I'm like, oh, well, fuck.
But, I mean, if I still would have probably thought Kento was going to win either way, but like there would have been more of a seed of doubt in my mind if I had gone into the – if that match wasn't happening like 4 days later.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, yeah, so this match – very, very good. I would say I was interested to hear your thoughts on this, because I would put it below the Champion Carnival final. I went 4¾ in the Champion Carnival final. I went 4¼ here. I just thought Marufuji selling in the Champion Carnival final to me was like next level shit. And here I thought it was still really, really good, but wasn't quite on that, like, you know, the match of the year for me so far level. Like, it was still an awesome match, but like, just a little bit below the...
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I definitely agree. I think that that the first match is a lot... not a lot better, but better, you know?
Like half a star better, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it comes... Like the second match, like, you know, this title match, it comes close. But, you know, it does fall short a little bit.
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, I understand that, you know, when it comes to these big matches, you know, you have a lot of wrestlers who want to get those big spots in these big matches. But, you know, for example, seeing Marufuji hit that apron tombstone again is kind of like, and he hit it worse this time, which you know,
it was nowhere near as impactful as the first one.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, so that kind of brought it down a little bit. But I still had a lot of fun watching this. I thought Kento I think that his selling was really well done. I think that, yeah, while Marufuji's wasn't, you know, as good as the Carnival Finals, his selling was also really good here. And I liked how they tried to one-up each other a lot throughout the match, especially near the end. Like, there was, like, because they planted seeds for that, you know, at the beginning, you know, with the flippy headlock thingies and, you know, trying to roll out of, like, Kenta trying to roll out of a headlock and, you know, Marufuji, you know, being one step ahead of him and kind of showing, hey, I'm the vet here. But you know, like, overall, I really like this. I like
the headlock thing. More matches should have extended headlocks. I'm not being sarcastic. It reminded me like of CM Punk and Samoa Joe, the first match or something, like, where Punk kept putting Joe in the headlocks. It's like, it's, you know, I don't know. Some people might find that stuff boring, but like, I'm into it.
It's
a wrestling match. Put him in a hold and let him try to fight out of it. Make it a struggle.
That was a lot of this, yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't do anything like that for, like, I don't know. I'd much rather watch people do holds and struggle to get out of them than watch, like, I don't know, 10 minutes of punching.
That's what makes Battle Arts so appealing to me. It's 85% of people trying to get out of submissions.
Yeah. I did think, too, it was noticeable to me early in the match where again, my girlfriend was there. I mean, I was like, Marufuji was setting him up for like the spot where he's going to chop the corn, chop him on the ring post on the outside. And I was like, oh, okay, Kenta's going to move out of the way, and Marufuji's going to have to be, you know, sell his hand, and he got the chop, and then he did it two more times, and he's successful on this, you know, corner chop on the floor three times in a row. I'm like, this might set a new record for most successful corner chops on the floor without hitting your hand on the ring post.
Yeah,
in wrestling history, because usually it's like one, and you know, maybe you get one successful one, and then the second one's like, oh, you scratch your hand.
Yep, and so. It's like, ah, oh, no, and then the rest of the match is just yeah. them dealing with that hurt hand.
But they did yeah. not do that here. That's just kept chopping them. Basically, that was it.
Yep, it was a lot of fun.
There was another cool spot. Miyahara did like a sort of bulldog from the apron with Marufuji on the floor.
Yeah,
like, throw him face first into a chair. I thought that was unique.
That was very fun. I think he's done that a couple of times with the ring post. Like he does like a bulldog from the apron over the ring post or something. I think that might be him. Could be somebody else, but. I think I've seen him do that before. I also like the fact that Miyahara hit a super kick for the first time in like 3 years.
Yeah, because he's not a big super kicker. So
yeah, he used to be, not anymore. Yeah. yeah.
So more like that's more like the Kensuke office days or Diamond Ring yep. or whatever.
Yeah.
So Marufuji, like I thought his first big explosion on the corner was pretty awesome. I think that's it. Just you know, reminded me a lot of the first match where he just like. Just explodes out of the corner with his whole combo and his kicks and everything.
Oh yeah, that was I love
cool.
that.
That was cool. And then when he did hit that apron pile driver, even though the apron tombstone wasn't really that cool, it was pretty cool. Marufuji was like waiting for him to roll back in the ring so he could like launch himself with that springboard sliding drop kick.
Yes, I fucking love. I like that and the corner super kick combo thing are just those never fail with me. I always love those.
The only big flaw in this match for me, like the only spot I really thought was hokey, was when they both did. At one point, they both did like a super kick, and like Miyahara takes a super kick, like doesn't really sell it at all, and then does his own super kick, and then just falls down. And I thought that was like it just came off kind of hokey and like.
Yeah.
Why did you like the? It just looks weirder and, quite frankly, dumber than when you do that with lariats for some reason. It just looked. I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. It just looked awkward and weird. And
it did feel very awkward. Yeah, because because he hits the super kick and then he takes a bump like someone kicked him.
Yeah. Like well, you weren't kicked. You were kicked before and you didn't sell it. And it's like there was like a delay and. Getting kicked? I don't understand. It's just different than the lariat one. But yeah, I docked him a little bit for that. But it was you know, a minor thing. And then the whole finishing stretch I thought was just insane. And it was one of those matches, too, where like they had it just right where, you know, they didn't go too long on it. And like just when it felt like, you know, the match was ready to be over, it was like, boom, over.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's honestly a huge pitfall and a lot of modern wrestling matches is going way too long with your finishing stretch, but I did not think that was a problem here. I thought that when Miyahara got that final knee and then hit the shutdown German, you know, Marufuji got the kick out of the knee, and I thought that was a great near fall, and then he got the shutdown German right after that, and it was like 1, 2, 3, boom. So.
Yeah, he hit, like, Kento hit Marufuji with, like, 80 knees this match. It was amazing.
It was a lot of knees.
There was actually a spot where they both tried to hit bicycle knees and they hit each other's knees. And yeah. I was like, wow, this is my dream match.
Lots of knees.
Lots of knee strikes.
But yeah, overall, pretty fun show. I would say nothing like blow away until the last two matches. Like if you're just looking to pick and choose, that would be the two I would tell you to watch.
Must see matches.
Yeah, the Jake Lee return and the Triple Crown title match. But a fun show. I mean, nothing to complain about.
Yeah, not at all. I liked it a lot. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought, you know, like if you do have time, if you do have like, what is it, like 3 hours? If you have 3 hours on your hands. Hours.
Yeah, with it, if you scroll through intermission, I think it's more like 2 and 40 or
yeah,
something.
Two and some change. If you guys want, you should definitely check that out. I think it's a lot of fun, but the last two matches are definitely must see.
Yeah.
And that six man is also full of brawls though.
I realize now, by the way, when we talked about Kotaro's theme, like Gundam Seed theme song, like no one's gonna have any idea what we're talking about because like they all probably watched on AJPW.TV and it was muted.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. We're watching Samurai.
Yeah, we were watching the Samurai version.
Yeah. I always forget stuff like that. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, this is muted and that is muted. Oh, I mean, All Japan probably is, like, the worst for that so far. Like, pretty much everything except, like, Kento's theme song and Nomura's and, I don't know, maybe Jake Lee's now. I don't know. What the hell?
Maybe Zeus, too. Maybe
Zeus and Bodyguard, yeah. We do get to hear Zeus's amazing rap song.
It's on incredible.
All Japan TV, but but pretty much everything else in the show is like muted. So
yeah.
Always, if you have access to the Samurai version when the shows are on both, definitely watch the Samurai version. But yeah, overall good show.
Loved it, just a lot, you know. I can't wait to see how Dylan James does against Kento. I think that's going to be a fine match.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention, but that is the big upcoming match, the mm-hmm. Dylan James and Kento Miyahara. Let's go through some event cards here. Let's see. We'll just go through it. Start with June 3rd, which I should have loaded up before, but I didn't. Oopsie daisy. But that's June 3rd in Kobe. Oh, before that, we have Growing Up, Volume 12, which is May 31st at Shinkiba. I think this is going to make TV on alljapan.tv. You have a main event with Miyahara, Yoshitatsu, and Nomura against Jake Lee, Ryoji Sai, and Dylan James. That could be very interesting to see Miyahara and Jake Lee maybe go at it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the new faction or something. Dylan James, Sai, Lee, and Iwamoto. Seems like those fellas are all teaming up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean that could be a cool little group if they do it, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
But let's see what else we got here. Suwama and Tsuji Sakawa, the Violence Giants. Or Violence Giants, I should say, against Tajiri and Koji Iwamoto.
Oh, man.
Kind of a mismatch, but we'll see, I guess, how it works out.
Crafty Juniors.
Crafty Juniors, yep. You need to use all their craftiness. But yeah, then we have a Mori versus Kai. It's interesting.
Oh.
Black Tiger 7 against Keiichi Sato. Aoki and Hikaru Sato against Yohei Nakajima and Takahiro Tabata. And the opener is Maruyama against Kotaro Suzuki.
Ooh, that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. And let's see what else we got here. June 3rd, which is the Kobe show. We have one title match and a anniversary six-man tag. So the title match is Ryoji Sai and Dylan James against Tajiri and Kai. And the main event is the Masakatsu Funaki debut 33rd anniversary. Funaki comes back to All Japan, a team with Suwama and Hikaru Sato against Yu Nakayama, Kendo Kashin, and Black Tiger 7.
Holy shit.
That could be pretty fun.
I'm excited.
But yeah, so that's your June 3rd show. A couple days later, June 5th, the final Differ Ariake show. So that's the All Japan a Differ Ariake final show. Interesting to me they're doing this because, like, really, when I think of Differ Ariake, I think of Noah.
Yeah, I think of Noah.
But I guess they have a lot of guys on their roster now that spend some time in Noah, and they're bringing in a couple more, which I'll get into in a second. So I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Noah must be doing a lot of show here, too, I would think. I would assume.
I'm not
big on the Noah right now, so I don't really know. But let's talk about this. The big matches here. The Differ Ariake All Japan Final Memorial Special Singles match. You have Kotaro Suzuki against Atsushi Aoki. So two guys who definitely wrestled in Differ many times for Noah. So that makes sense.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And then you have Wild Burning, Akiyama and Omori taking on two ex-Noah freelancers in Tamon Honda and Masao Inoue.
That's right.
That could be really cool. I mean, you know, not that it's going to be like a great work rate match or anything, but just to see, you know, Honda back in the ring after all this time and see Inoue in there with Jun Akiyama. You know, that Inoue Akiyama match is like, you know, very fondly remembered, the GHC
moment
where they try to cheat his way to the title. And then the main event is Ayogi's return, an 8-man tag. Kento Miyahara, Yoshitatsu, Nomura, and Oyagi taking on Jake Lee, Ryuji Sai, Dylan James, and Koji Iwamoto. So as you just said, that kind of looks like maybe a new unit.
Mm-hmm.
And then June 12th, the Cork and Hall Dynamite Series opener, because I guess that's technically the end of the Superpower Series, June 5th. Let's just go through the whole card here. Maruyama is taking on Ryon Fujiwara. Haven't seen him in a while, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Masafuchi teams with Osamu Nishimura to take on Omori and Keiichi Sato. You get your wish here. Ishikiri teams with Aoki to take on Yohei Nakajima and Ultimate Dragon.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
Yeah. Zeus teams with Black Tiger 7 to take on Tajiri and Yoshitatsu.
That's such a weird match. I love it.
It's a very weird match.
Ultraman's very good at making random tag matches.
It's true. Then you have Suwama, Shuji Ishikawa, and Hikaru Sato taking on the trio of Jake Lee, Ryuji Sai, and Koji Iwamoto. So more of that trio.
Yep, starting to see a little bit of a trend with them.
Yeah. And then you have your semifinal, the All-Asia Tag Title Match, Jun Akiyama and Yuji Nagata, the 104th champions defending against Nomura and Aoyagi in their second title defense. So I think pretty good chance we'll see a title change here.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. And then the main event, the Triple Crown title match, the 60th champion Kento Miyahara defends against the challenger Dylan James, Miyahara's second title defense. I think there's probably almost no chance we see a title change here, but
no.
It should be good though, either way.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I wonder what's going to draw.
Yeah, I think, you know, loading up with, bringing in Yuji Nagata, which will maybe draw in some New Japan people.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In a semi-main, that'll probably help. And that's a big All-Asia Tag Title match. But yeah, so that, I mean, it's got a little bit of support, but, I think it should do okay.
Yeah, I think it should be good.
I'd be surprised if you're below, like, 1,500.
Yeah.
So, I do want to mention, too, the Ryoji Sai is going to defend his Asia heavyweight title on June 19th in Hokkaido. I don't know if this is making tape or not, but he's going to defend against Yoshitatsu. So there you go.
Oh, man.
The Asia heavyweight title. There's also the Gaora TV title defense on June 24th with Jun Akiyama defending against Omori.
I forgot that even existed.
Yeah, the Gaora TV. I always forget about the Gaora TV title, too. It's like, it never shows, they never do the defenses at Kirk and Hall anymore. So it's like, I just never. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
Yeah, he never wears it either, Akiyama.
It's true. He's like, oh yeah, he's got that belt still.
It's at home.
The belt that he just randomly defends in six-man tag sometimes. But any other thoughts on All Japan before we wrap things up, or anything else? What's going on, Ian? You got to watch any other wrestling?
Any other wrestling? Not really. I have been trying to catch up on a lot of stuff from April and May. But I have been catching up here and there. I watched Endless Survivor, some of the Endless Survivor show.
What do you think of Hideki and Sekimoto? Because I was a little disappointed.
I was disappointed too.
It was starting out really well. I thought that you were telling like a cool little story. With like, you know, the power versus technique thing, but like 10 minutes in, it just felt like it just became a bunch of stuff.
So, yeah. It kind of gets into a blur near the end of the match with me. I'm just kind of like, really, we're doing this again. Like last year, I'm pretty sure they had a draw, and it was a good draw. It was a great match
last year, but you know, they had two great
matches. I don't understand what happened here. Yeah, they did. I forgot about the other one.
Yeah. Where he lost the title to him. Yeah. So I don't know. It's a very weird setup, and you know, now we're gonna get Hideki against Takuya Nomura. So I don't think Nomura is gonna win the title, but at this point, if I was him, I would do it because it's like there's nothing to lose at this point. Like the strong division has been flailing, you know, pretty much since the entire the Hideki range started out really well. You know, start out really well with that Yuji Okabayashi match was fucking awesome.
Oh, so good.
I actually like the Kawakami match, which I know some people didn't, but I thought that was a good match.
Yeah, and I like that one. I like the Daichi match too.
The first one, you mean? Yeah.
The first one, yeah. The second one was all
the
right.
One, the first one I was there for, and I liked it too. Death Mania, but like some people didn't like that one either. But like once they started repeating everything, like especially the Okami stuff, like that's where it really like died a death.
Yeah, it's like come on,
and
you gotta pick some more people.
Daichi winning the title was not good. you know, his reign. I was a big Daichi fan. I still, you know, want to see him do well, but I just, you know, I can't defend what I've seen of him. It's been pretty bad.
I love Daichi a lot, and I was just really, really happy for him, but I can definitely see where you're coming from with not liking it. Because his title reign wasn't all that good. Like,
I want him to win, but I mean, I want him to do well, but he just didn't.
He had good matches, but it's just like his in terms of like his presence, it's just not like,
yeah, it's not there.
There.
And I've seen people say like he and Kamatani should go to All Japan like full time because they really do perform so much better.
They really do.
I don't know what it is. Like, they were awesome in the World Tag League last year.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. I forgot. I forgot how amazing they were back then.
Yeah.
Just bring them in.
They should just fucking just jump. Say they got to go take care of their dog or sick grandparent. There's an alligator and it bit them. I don't know. Just come up with something and then show up in All Japan 2 months later.
Hey, I'm sick. I can't come into work today, and then you show up in All Japan. There you go.
But as far as Big Japan goes, otherwise though, and the Survivor, pretty good show. Not as good as last year, though, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I loved Takeda versus Kobayashi. That match was wow.
It was good. It was good. I thought it was. I don't think I'm as high on it as other people were, but I liked it.
So brutal. It got so bloody near the end. I was kind of like surprised. I was like, because like you expect like, you know, a match with Kobayashi and Takeda to be, you know, bloody, but wow.
Yeah, they really went.
First 10 minutes.
Level with it.
They're both covered in it. Another thing I watched was Masato Tanaka versus Fuminori Abe from Basara.
I haven't seen that yet. Was it good?
Oh yeah, so good. I loved it a lot. It's funny because it reminded me, you know, because obviously, you know, Abe gets a lot of his style and stuff from Sawa. And I was surprised to see how much this match mirrored Sawa's match with Tanaka from back like in 2010 or something. It's really funny.
Yeah, I like Tanaka. I mean, Tanaka's a weird one because it's like, all the damage he's taken over the years, you would think like it would catch up to him more than it has really. Like, I don't know. Like some of those people from that era of ECW and like FMW like can't move, and like somehow he's still going.
I don't know. He sold his soul to the devil, and he's just.
I guess
he's, I mean, just, I guess, he's gonna live forever.
He's one of these freaks with the head, you know. Like I think he's just, he could take a lot of damage basically.
So it's wild.
Yeah. So
I know he was like, he had, I don't know, like mid 2000s or something. He wasn't around for a little bit or something.
Yeah. Maybe he was like resting up.
Yeah. And then he came back and he had like all of his 90s bulk gone. And he was just, you know, Masato Tanaka as he is now. And he's just been killing it like ever since. It's kind of wild how consistent he is.
I mean, his intergender match with, what's her name? Nanai was like, and then Takahashi, that was one of the best intergender matches I've ever seen.
Oh God, yeah, I think I've heard about that. I gotta watch it.
It's a really awesome match. Like the, you know, the, Tanaka definitely, you know, gives it to her, but she definitely gives it to him too.
I mean, like, he gets himself some receipts.
Yeah, I mean, like she beats the shit out of him in parts. So
holy fuck.
But yeah, that was a pretty crazy match. That's a seedling show. I think one of the early ones, actually.
Oh wow!
So, yeah. All right. So, is there anything else you've been watching before you wrap up?
Besides that, I just I watched Okada versus Tanahashi 10.
What'd you think of it?
It was good. I wish 10 minutes of it wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, you know, it's. I made a tweet about this. You know, I love it when, you know, they get to the 10-minute mark in New Japan main events because it means that they're actually going to do stuff that impacts the rest of the match. But besides that, I really liked it. I like the Okada Tanahashi matches a lot. I'm a huge fan of those.
The only ones I don't like at all are the Tokyo Dome ones. I don't know why. It's just the first and second Tokyo Dome matches, the 2013, I think, and the the 2015, the two that Tanahashi won. I'm not really a big fan of either one. The 2016 one is good, the one where Tanahashi, where Okada finally beats him.
But oh yeah, I love that. That's my favorite one. Yeah,
my favorite Okada Tanahashi match is, I think, still the Invasion Attack match from
2013.
Yeah, from 2013.
Oh, so, yeah, that's so good. I love that match.
I did like a whole ranking of them. I should find it. But yeah, it was. The Don't Talk one I thought was good. I can't really complain.
Yeah, I heard someone talk about. I don't know who it was from. They said something along the lines of like how Tanahashi kind of played himself in the losing match.
Like he just like he was so. he was so certain that once he finally got that wrist clutch off him, that was gonna be he was gonna like you know come back and win. And Okada just like pulls him by the tights and does the move anyway.
So good.
So I found my rankings. Let me go through it real quick. So here's how I would rank all the matches based on some of these matches I've seen very recently, and some of them I haven't. So this is how I remember them. I go Invasion Attack 2013 number one, Dominion 2012 number two, King of Pro Wrestling 2013 number three. New Beginning 2012 number four. That match is like super underrated, I think. Like I've seen people put it like the bottom of the list, but I really like that one.
Yeah, that was like their first match, right?
Yeah, it was their first match, and like the crowd didn't know what to make of Okada. So like I can see why from like a crowd heat perspective it wasn't as you know as good as some of the other ones. But like if you actually watch what they're doing, I thought it was just a really, really fantastic match. Then the Notaku 2018 match in fifth, and then the two G1 draws, I put 2013 first, then 2016. Then Tokyo Dome 2016, and then the other two Dome matches, 15, 13, and 15. With 15 being the only match in the list I would consider like just straight up bad. Like I don't like that match.
The 2013, it was so bad that Okada cried at the end.
Yeah, basically. The 2013 one was okay, and then the 2016 one was very good. And that's like basically the list is very good from then on. But yeah, I didn't expect the Dontaku match to top any of the early ones, but like it was better than I expected it to be. I gave it like 4.5, and I thought they put on a really, you know, really awesome performance. But you know, it was a very self-contained, it told a good self-contained story and still obviously had all the callbacks to previous matches. So, you know, that's kind of, I think it's a very worthwhile match. If you haven't seen any of the previous matches, some of the stuff will be lost on you. But I still think you can find enjoyment in it. So
yeah, absolutely. It's not. You wouldn't find so much stuff like lost on you to the point where you're like, I can't understand this because you know, like they, like you said, they play, like they do such a good self-contained story in that match that you know, like any like newer New Japan fan can watch that and go, oh, that's cool. You know, all you need to really know is that they had, you know, a huge
they had a lot of matches. The they don't like each other, but yeah, basically.
Literally that, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you want to start, I would definitely say, if you've never seen the Invasion Attack 2013 match, you know, definitely go back and watch it.
My favorite. I love it so much.
It's such a great match. But yeah, so overall, good Dontaku. That it's a good thing that match was there because the rest of those two cards wasn't very good. I mean, well, Ospreay and Kushida was good. I will say, if you can, I went like 4.25 on it, and that's about the max I'm willing to go on a match where Ospreay screams like a stuck pig every time he's touched.
Yeah.
I just can't. I mean, like, the match with I don't think you're watching Best of Super Junior, but like he just had a match with Yo yesterday in the main event. And like the work was good, but like every time Yo touched the man, he just fucking screeches. And it's like, just take it down. It's like he read so many people on the internet say he didn't know how to sell. He's like, I can't do a British accent. He's like, motherfuckers, I'll show you I can sell. And like, just stop. Please, we get it.
Literally. Stop. Like, you don't have to scream.
Yo put him in, I think it was Kara on Twitter pointed this out, but like, Yo put him in like a dragon suplex or dragon sleeper, which is supposed to be choking you out. And he's just screaming the entire time.
It's my God.
Sleep, buddy, you're screaming.
All right, like there are some people who can scream for everything, and that only person is Sekimoto.
Yeah, it's just very different kind of screaming. I just Ospreay screaming is just like I don't even know. I just want to tell him to stop. take it down. But the match actually was still awesome, despite.
I still liked it. Yeah, I thought it was good.
It's just like, just if you could, if someone could tell Will to shut the fuck up, his matches would be so much fun. But yeah,
oh
I mean,
my God.
But the first night of Dontaku, we just had nothing. I mean, you know, Ibushi and Cody was nowhere near as good as the Wrestle Kingdom match, and
I didn't watch that.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. And Kenny Omega and Hangman Page was really disappointing because, Hangman Page I thought was having a pretty good year up to that point, but it just that match was nothing. So
I liked it. I thought it was okay, but like I can definitely see like the problems with it because that's why it's just okay with me.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, kind of iffy about it.
Not a good main event though.
No, oh no, yeah. Why would you do that?
But yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. I guess. Do you think Kenny's beating Okada? Are you on the Kenny's winning train?
Oh, third time's the charm. Fam, so. I'm fucking hoping.
Hoping and thinking are two different things. We had to predict it.
I think he will. I think he will definitely.
All right. Because I feel like I'm the only person left who thinks Okada's going to retain. I've seen Okada retain so many times now that I'm just like, I'm not willing to say anyone's going to beat him until it happens, basically.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm just like, yeah, you know what? You guys are so excited. You're counting your Kenny Omega defenses before they hatched. You know who I did that with? Tetsuya Naito.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right. Oh, no.
I was like, who's Naito going to be facing a new beginning? Let's go. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, so oops. It's like, you know, you can't put anything past Okada and specifically Gedo when it comes to, like, booking Okada to beat everybody.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to go into the match thinking Kenny has a very good shot, but I'm still going to be like, Okada's probably going to pull it out.
if Okada does win, I'm going to be very interested to see who he wrestles next.
I'm going to be very interested to see Twitter. I mean, people are going to.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are
going to
melt the fuck down if Okada retains again. I mean, this is one where, like, I melted down when he retained against Naito, and I think a lot of people did. But this is one where, like, I'm much more of a passive observer. I'm gonna be like, all right, let's log into Twitter.com and see and see what the takes are like, because I'm not that emotionally invested in Omega being the one to beat Okada like I know a lot of other people are. So
I would love it. I would very much love it if he was the one to beat Okada. And he might be, but he equally might not be.
Yeah, it's just he can never say for sure at this point. So
he's held the belt for like what? How long? How long is
over 2 years now? Because will be 2 years at Dominion.
Oh fuck! Yeah, so
2016 against Naito. But remember, before that, he was only away from the title for like 2 months because he lost it to Okada at the Last Invasion attack before it turned into Sakura Genesis, and a match I was there for actually. And then, like, 2 months later, you know, won it right back from Naito at the Dominion show. I'm trying to remember when he... I think before that, he won it from AJ at Dominion, right? I think that's how it went. Yeah, he won it from AJ Styles at Dominion 2015. So, basically, he's had the belt for 3 years other than a two-month period. There's a lot of Okada's champion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Oh my God. All right. We can wrap this up now, I guess, but... Ian, like, plug all your stuff. Plug it all.
I have a podcast that I'm doing. It's called the Unentitled Wrestling Podcast. I'm a co-host with my buddy Lawrence, LOB_3. We have a new episode. You can check it out on my SoundCloud. I can't believe I just said that.
Check out my SoundCloud.
Check out my SoundCloud, guys. You can check out my SoundCloud. There's a new episode that follows a few matches for Reckless Youth / Tom Carter, indie guy from the late 90s, early 2000s. And he was a lot of fun. When I started watching those matches with Lawrence, I figured that I was going to see like a dude, you know, doing a bunch of, you know, wild spots and taking all these weird bumps, but no, he was just a technician, and he was really, really good. He really liked William Regal. I think he trained Quackenbush He helped train.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a lot of the early Chikara shows.
Yeah, he helped with him Chikara. So like he definitely, like, in terms of indie wrestling, he definitely brought a lot of stuff. And he was one of those guys who would watch a lot of Japanese wrestling tapes from back in the day and, you know, take stuff from them.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like him and then like the whole Homicide low-key like New York crew.
Yeah.
That really started the spread of like, you know, Puro and indies. Although, what's his name? Wasn't like one of the guys from Public Enemy was doing like a Tiger Mask ripoff gimmick in like the like the early 90s, I think.
Oh wow, really? Damn.
Yeah, I think Rocco Rock was the one. One of them was definitely doing it.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, he's doing like, I don't remember, I think it was Cheetah Kid or something.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. So the influence has been there before, but like they're the ones that like really put it into overdrive in like the early to mid 2000s. So
mm-hmm.
early to mid aughts.
Oh wow, really? Damn.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Low Key is awesome. Just the last note before we end the show. I love Low Key.
Low Key's good. Did you watch his seminar thing? I didn't watch it.
No, I have not.
At Oatgan on Twitter, he was like one of two people on the feed, and he was like telling us all about it. So.
Oh wow.
It was pretty fun. But yeah, I'll wrap things up this week, everybody. Thank you for listening, as always. And you can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase, not wrestling, because wrestling wouldn't fit. And you can find us on iTunes if you just search for Wrestling Omakase. We have our own feed. Obviously, we're part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed, which you can find all sorts of other shows on here, including Music of the Mat, which I was on about a week ago to do DDT themes. And this is going up beforehand, but I recorded already the 5-star match game, which is the next episode of the 5-star match game. I think it's coming out next on Tuesday or Memorial Day Monday or something like that. But I recorded that a couple days ago, and that's going to be on Dragon Gate. So if you want to hear how I did answering Dragon Gate trivia, I went up against Michael Spears and Case Lowe, my two former Open the Voice Gate co-hosts. But that'll be coming out in a few days. And there's all sorts of other shows I'm not on, but, you know, I figure I might as well plug my own stuff. but that'll do it, folks. Thank you for listening. And next week, Wrestling Omakase is coming back to you with the next edition of our very popular Fantasy Draft series. It's going to be all about the Japanese indies. We're going to draft from pretty much every Japanese promotion other than New Japan. I should say every male promotion, because we already did Joshi. And the guests for that episode will be Brendan Patrick and Kevin Hare from Burning Spirits, both returning. And a first time ever guest, a guy I'm very happy to have on, Tanner, is going to be coming on from the...
Oh my God!
Yeah, from the All You Can Hear podcast. Amazing. Yep, very popular guy. I'm, you know, very good friends with him on Twitter. So I'm very happy to have him on for the first time next week. That's
card.
Yeah, and we're all going to be going up against each other. I have to defend my crown now, because after doing very badly in we did like a poll at the, you know, the afterwards, like who had the best super card with their fantasy draft roster. And I finished third out of fourth in the first episode, which is WWE Men in New Japan. But I won the second episode, the Joshi and WWE Women one, with like 71% of the vote or something.
Oh my God.
I crushed it. And I blame it all because I made it. So they like, so I, it's a snaking draft, right? So I picked fourth, which meant I got two picks in a row right away. And somehow they left me Io Shirai and Asuka. So I was like, I took them back to back, and like that was, it was like, oh, I got my main event right there. So people were apparently pretty into that main event. So
goddamn.
Yeah. And hopefully I can get that lucky again next time and just get like, I don't know, Kento Miyahara and like Takeshita or something.
Oh my God.
Book some like absurd, like A stream match. But yeah, so that'll be next time. That'll be next week on Wrestling Omakase. Look out for that. And folks, we'll see you again next time. And say goodbye, I guess.
Keep listening.
See you next time, everybody.